This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. It's that day we call Your Money Matters. Hey, these days, every day your money matters right now.
Every day.
Especially at the gas pump, right, Kurt?
Yeah. Everywhere, as a matter of fact.
Well, welcome to the show. Our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Yes, all these years, they have continued to be your one-stop shop.
Hey, you just showed me a picture. I don't know how old that picture is. What is it, about 6, 8 years?
Yeah, about 2017, maybe 18, something like that.
I was a little chunky then.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
We were bigger boned, yeah. Yeah, bigger boned, yeah.
Yeah, the wrinkles in the face were there.
I know, yeah, both of us, man.
Yeah, and you have a great tan.
Yep.
Goes well with that gray hair.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. Well, how things going, man?
I can't complain, you know. I wish we'd get more rain. I think it's important. Other than that, there's other parts of the country that are getting beat up pretty bad.
Sure, yeah.
So we're doing okay.
Yep. Again, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500 is the number. If this is the first time you've joined us, welcome. We're here every week at this time with Kurt just to talk about all things mortgages. Any kind of update just through the week you want to talk about before we get into things?
No, you know, rates right now are kind of up and down.
Okay.
You know, 1 minute they drop a quarter to half a point. They're down under 6 and they're back up above 6. So, and you know, other than that, that's everybody talks about rates.
I know.
What's the rate? Well, tomorrow it's going to be different than today.
Yep. Well, we're going to jump into that then because you're right. It has been a roller coaster. So when people talk about what determines the rate and what's causing this roller coaster, help us out.
Well, there's two things that figure into your mortgage rate. The first one's called the 10-year bond market, mortgage-backed securities. And that's all determined by the strength of the dollar. As the dollar's stronger, the 10-year bond market will lower, which is what banks borrow money against to sell you on mortgages. So the people that are buying the bonds are actually insuring your mortgage. So the rates are going down. The Fed's fund rate is more controlled by inflation and jobs. So, you know, if our unemployment is running at 4.5, 4.6, and inflation's running at 3, they got to be careful. They want to lower the rates.
Mm-hmm.
If inflation starts going up, they want to raise the rates. So there's a couple of different factors that come into play on that. The main one is that the 10-year bond market is what affects it. So if you're out looking, one of the things I tell people when they call me up and say, I'm going to go looking for a home or I want to refinance, have an idea where you want to be. What's the rate that you currently see, and is that a rate that payment would work for you? You're going to continue to see rates go up and down, but understand one thing. The housing market affects the economy in so many more ways,
right.
And the government cannot afford to let the housing economy get weak.
Mm-hmm.
Because the housing jobs, all the people that the jobs that it has, when you buy or refinance your home, you're going to spend money at stores, you're going to upgrade your homes, you're going to do things. It's lending, it's financial stability, and it's a confidence of home ownership. So when the housing market is strong like it was a couple years ago, economy is strong.
Right.
It starts to weaken, and that's actually it's turned the market from a seller's market to a buyer's market.
And I tell you, you see a lot of growth in certain areas around. I mean, they're building houses everywhere. Out near Sedalia is huge, out towards the airport, you know. I mean, construction is going crazy.
They talk about housing affordability. I mean, there's homes out there that's trying to make them all fit into a budget. But we still don't have enough homes. There's more people that want homes than what we're able to produce. And like you said, you're seeing them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep building them. And the multiplex, you know, all the apartment complexes, condos,
right.
And townhomes.
Right.
They're just, they're, all of a sudden, 1 minute, there they are.
I know.
Hello.
So, all right, a few questions here. So whether somebody's in the market to purchase a new home or to refinance their current property, what questions should they be asking you?
if you're thinking about buying a home or you're thinking about refinancing, if you already own a home, you have an idea how this works, but ask yourself, where do I want my payments to be? How do I get to that payment? What can I afford? Now, there are people that can afford a whole lot more, but they won't buy it. That's smart. Don't become mortgage poor to where you're only working to make the mortgage payment and you don't get to enjoy anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that gives you like I said, being a buyer's market, that works. I understand what goes into your payment. It's called PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So when you're looking at calculators or looking at a payment, you might be looking at a payment of $2,300. Does that include taxes and insurance? When you're looking at properties or refinancing your home, what are your taxes done to your payment? What's your homeowner's insurance does? Are there ways to control that? Understand what goes into your total mortgage payment. And then in some cases, you have HOA. So all of that factors in. So what portion fits your income best? Let's say you make $80,000 a year, that's $6,700 a month. If you want 35% of what you make monthly, that's a payment of $2,345. What will $2,345 buy? If you want to go to 45%, it's $3,000 a month. So understanding how your payment works helps you find the home or the loan amount you want when you're buying or refinancing a home.
Right. And I think, is that something you have to warn people about sometimes when maybe they get approved for a certain amount? Is, hey, don't use all of this. And depending on their income and their debt.
I try to explain that to them when you're figuring a payment. So I've had a couple first-time home buyers, and they come to me, and they say, I want to buy the home. Some of my questions is, how much are you looking at putting down, and where do you want your payments? Well, I'm paying rent right now with $1,750, they'll say, or $2,000. I don't want it to go much higher. I'm saying, understand what's in that $2,000. You have to back out a couple things, and mm-hmm. that's what buys the home. The rest of the stuff is taxes and insurance. So it takes some people longer. If you own a home, you understand it pretty quick.
Right.
So you know what's going on.
Right. So when we get into interest rates and APR, is that confusing to people?
Yes. Okay. Most people don't, when they say, well, I saw this rate on TV at 4.75. I said, did you see the APR? Well, I don't know what that is. Well, that's that other figure that you're really paying for the home. Mm-hmm. APR is classified as third-party fees, the cost of doing the loan. What goes into the interest rate for you to get from the lender is your FICO score, the loan-to-value. These are what affect your interest rate, your FICO score, your loan-to-value, the type of property you're buying, whether it's a condo, a townhome, a duplex, single-family home. They all have different liabilities to the lender, different risks to the lender, so they adjust the rate. Occupancy, are you going to live in it as a primary, or is it going to be an investment property? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a second home? All those things affect the interest rate. So when you call somebody up and say, I got a 740 FICO score and I'm going to put 20% down, what's my rate? Well, we got a couple other questions to deal with. What are you buying? And just the FICO score you may see might not be the same one I see. What's the term of the loan? What's the type of the loan? Is it an FHA? Is it a VA? Is it a conventional? Is it a alternative loan? Is it like a bank statement loan? You're self-employed and you write everything off so you don't prove much income. You can still get a loan. So there's a lot of variables that come in to get that rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's hard to kind of quote sometimes.
Is generally the rate going to be higher if you're not going to live there?
The risk is higher. When the rates go up, the lenders are telling you that the risk on that loan has a higher probability of defaulting. Investment properties default quicker than owner-occupied. Condos default quicker than single families. These are just statistics. Mm. So that's why there's extra charges. Higher loan-to-values. We go back to the 80s when we had the mortgage meltdown. Right. There were a lot of loans for folks with a 600 credit score that were getting 100% financing. Those are high-risk clients, but they were still getting 3 and 4% because that's what the banks wanted to bundle those rates at.
Mm-hmm.
That, in turn, caused a lot of foreclosures, which in turn caused part of the mortgage meltdown.
Right.
So having participation from you will help you lower your rates.
Kurt Rogers with us, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. All right, FICO score is what you started out with when you say the rate is determined by many factors. FICO score, I think credit, I know we've talked about this for years, but still I run across people that don't understand credit, credit reports, and FICO scores, and how the all three reports are going to be different from the credit bureaus and all that, right?
First thing about credit reports, and every time we talk about it, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Go into optoutprescreen.com and opt yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute you apply for something and someone runs your credit, if you don't do that, they're going to sell that information to anybody that wants it to pick up the phone and call you. So when you apply for a car loan, if you're not opted out, you're going to get 30, 40 phone calls. You apply for a mortgage, you're going to get 30 or 40 phone calls. This way it prevents them from selling that information to have potential people come to you and buy. What goes into your FICO score is a couple main things. How you pay your bills. Do you pay them on time? Do you pay them on the 1st of the month, the 15th, on the 29th? How do you pay your bills? What's your credit depth? What do you have? There's three different types. There's installment loans, which are normally like boats or cars. There's a mortgage loan. And then there's credit card loans. If you're applying for a credit card and you run a bureau, it's going to be different than if you're applying for a mortgage and run a bureau. Those scores are going to be different because the algorithms for what my lenders need are different than what credit card companies need.
Right.
But to have a good score, you need to have all three. I have a client right now, great people, make good income, solid money in the bank, everything's for them. They have absolutely no credit. And the reason many people will tell you is, I don't want to pay 21%. Well, the problem with not wanting to pay 21% on a $1,000 credit card or $2,000 credit card versus paying a half a percent or a percent more
because
on
you
a
don't
mortgage
have credit, right?
Is thousands of dollars. If easiest way to get a credit score and get your numbers up there is get a couple of credit cards and maybe one installment loan to start with before you buy a house. And then when you have that, borrow money against a credit card, pay it off in the same month. Even if it's only $50, pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you know. Then 1 month, let it run up a month or two and maybe pay $10 in interest. Then pay it off. You're going to move your credit score up to be a 740, 760. Then you have going to get the best rates that are out there.
Would it take a year probably that they would want to see that?
It's
6 months is
6 months
short,
to
huh?
a year to yeah. start. You okay. got to have one of the things about your credit score and the lenders look at, they want to see 2 year history. They want to see that you have credit for 2 years. So if all you can get is credit cards, take it.
Right.
Don't get 17 of them. Get three at the most.
Right.
I've seen people with 17, right. and they owe money to all of them.
And sometimes you can do these cards where, you know, you put $1,000 up, they give you a card with $1,000.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen young
they'll,
people
they'll
start
run it against
that
your
way.
Account, your bank. If mm-hmm. you can't get one normally, go to your bank and they'll give you one that's tied to your account. And this way it starts the process. In order for a bank, you're asking a lender, if you're looking at a mortgage, to loan you $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 when they can't see that you've paid back $500.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big risk. That's why it's higher and they charge you more.
Right.
Not because they want to. It's because, again, the probability of that home being foreclosed is higher than with somebody with a credit history.
And, man, just a few points with these scores either way can, like you said, can mean thousands of dollars.
And you could have a 717 credit score, and if you get it up to a 720, you saved yourself $3,000. 3 points. It's easy to move your credit score 3 points. I can show you how to do that. That's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It'd take you a week. But you don't know that unless you test it, unless you understand what you have. You can go out and get free credit report. I think it's freecreditreport.com and pull a credit report. Now, don't look at the score because it's fictitious.
Right.
But look at what your credit says. Does it show you with any lates? Does it show you with what they call trended data, which tells when you make your payment on your card or your installment?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can look at it, you can start to see a pattern that you're developing. Keep the pattern. Borrow money against a credit card, keep it for a month, and turn around and pay it off.
Yep.
Pay it down, then pay it off. Show them you know how to make payments. If you can't show them you know how to make payments, they're not going to want to loan you money.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Rogers with us, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We'll be right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500 is the number. Talking about some credit, different things with lenders, and we're going to talk now. What do lenders look for when approving your loan? And you know, Kurt, it's hard to believe, man, COVID was 6 years ago. I mean, just about this time, 6 years ago, is when things started, we're like hearing, you know, getting into the COVID thing. It's hard to believe that's been 6 years.
Yeah.
So my question is, with jobs, did you see a lot of job fluctuation with people, and how does that affect things when you're looking for a loan?
What lenders look for is called stability ability. The legal term for it that came out of the mortgage meltdown was called the ability to repay, ATR. The lenders cannot loan you money unless they can prove with documentation that you have the ability to repay the loan. Because if you understand, your loans are coming from FHA, VA, or Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
Right.
That's government money. That's the bond market. So they have some right to give you. You have to do this to make it work. What they want is a 2-year history, stability. 2-year history of where you've lived. I don't care if it's six places, just a 2-year history. 2-year history of where you've worked. Now, if you go from self-employed to W-2, I still need 2 years. I don't need 2 years of W-2. If you go from W-2 to self-employed, I need 2 years of self-employed because of the way you can calculate your income. Then where you stay, you can move from one property to the next property, but no gaps. And I'll go back to employment. If you have a gap of employment, I have a customer right now that was a nurse. She was off for 6 weeks, went to a different hospital, worked there for a year, then took another 6 weeks off. Those are gaps of employment. Now, they're not big enough gaps to cause a problem. You take off 3-4 months. The lender wants to know what was the reason for it. Did you go take care of a parent? Were you in a car accident? Was there an illness? What caused that gap in employment? Again, ability, stability, they're looking for that. If you're in the same kind of work, if you're self-employed in W-2, it must be the same kind of work. If you go from being an engineer to a mechanic, it's okay. As long as you're employed, that's what they're looking for.
Right. Okay.
One last thing.
Yes, sir.
College works.
Okay.
Let me explain how that works. If you're just getting out of college or you've been out of college for a year and you only have a 1-year job, I had a customer tell me the other day that they needed a 2-year job. I said, no, you don't. You have a 4-year degree. Lenders look at that as a job as long as the job you have comes from college. It's the same. What you took a degree in, you're doing that work out here. So if they can see 1 year of employment in what you went to college for, they'll count that as a stability and ability, and you can get a loan approved.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned college, made me think there was so much going back and forth with student loans, and people weren't going to have to pay them back, and then they were going to have to pay them. What does that hurt people? Are there student loans still that they look at?
About 20% of the customers that I see will have student loans. Mm-hmm. Some of them will show a payment. Some of them will show you zero because you have it on a deferred plan. Just because you have it on zero doesn't mean the lender doesn't count it, because eventually you're going to have to make a payment on that.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the lenders look at it is they take 5% of whatever it is. So on $1,000 loan, they're telling you your payment's $50 a month.
Okay.
And that's what they're going to calculate against your debt-to-income ratio.
Right, right.
Even if they're deferred, they still have to count some, because eventually it's an obligation you have to pay unless it gets waived.
Mm-hmm.
But you're applying now, so they have to count the payment.
Sure. All right. Let's get into closing costs a little bit. You know, now it's been a while since I've seen this where they go, oh, no closing costs. Do you still see that some in some advertising, or has that kind of been taken away a little bit?
When they say no closing costs, what they're basically trying to tell you, they're going to pay for them. The costs have to be there. You have to show the consumer what the cost is to do the loan, because that calculates what your APR are. Third-party fees, i.e. appraisal, i.e. title fees, those are what goes into your APR along with points. So they're affecting your APR, so they have to be disclosed. Now, whether you pay for them or not is a different point, but there's closing costs. So they can't say none, no cost to you. And that's even dangerous, because you're still paying for them in the rate.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to pay those fees for nothing. But if you're looking at closing costs, people say, what's your closing cost? I say, well, the average third-party fees in Colorado, it's a national statistic, is $3,500.
Okay.
Well, that's actually pretty cheap when you figure title fees and appraisal fee and underwriting fee. That's pretty inexpensive. That's about $1,000 each. Now, other fees, points, those are going to affect your APR, and those are also part of the APR closing costs. What's not closing costs are taxes and insurance. So when you're buying a home or refinancing a home and you got to pay your taxes up front, that's not part of your closing costs. Because that you're actually paying for the live in the home. It's not a cost to get the loan. It's a cost to own a home.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Right. Have appraisals, I mean, what were they 5 years ago and what are they today? Have they gone up in cost?
They've gone up, but they've gone away. With the computer systems that are out there, many of the loan programs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they will give you a free appraisal, meaning which they have a thing called AVM, Automated Valuation Method. They understand what homes are selling for in this area on a house you want to finance. So they're looking, and when you say, I've got this 3,000-square-foot house at $700,000 appraised value, and I'm borrowing $500,000, and they look under their AVM, and they say, yeah, there's a lot of homes with that square footage at that price.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want an appraisal. All we want is to drive by at $75, have a nice time. So we're waiving appraisals a lot. I have lenders that are actually paying for appraisals for customers this month. So I did one the other day that all they wanted to do is make sure that the home was there and standing, so they charged $125 for a drive-by. So appraisal fees, even though the cost to do them has gone up from mm-hmm. $450 to $630, $650, a lot of times they get waived or get absorbed into a much smaller fee.
Okay. Again, Kurt Rogers with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Tell you what, we've got a couple of minutes left here. Let's touch on down payment just for a minute. When people say, hey, how much do I have to put down? What are a few things you have to ask them to figure out what that might be?
I started with that one is, where are you trying to reach to? What's your payment? I mean, if you're trying to buy a $500,000 home,
mm-hmm.
you want to put down 3%. Understand, you're going to get a first-time home buyer program. You're going to get a great rate. But because you're borrowing more money, it's going to move your payment up, and your debt-to-income ratio could be affected. The minimum down payment in most cases is 3%. Conforming, okay. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and I'm just closing one tomorrow with 3% down. That's all they came up with. They have a very small mortgage insurance payment that goes with it. Everything worked out well with them. But they had the credit score. They had the reserves. Everything about the risk factor of the customer was strong, so they put less down. Now I have another customer that doesn't have as much money, and they're getting down payment assistance. Now here's where you go with first-time home buyer. You can actually, these folks are going to be able to buy the home, and they're only going to bring about $1,000 to the table. They are going to get down payment assistance of 5% on a 3% down loan.
Wow.
Which means we took the down payment, the other 2% pays the closing costs. Mm-hmm. They only have to bring a grand. That doesn't work for everybody, but it worked out real well for them. So there's the minimum down payment is 3%.
Okay.
How you obtain that could be different ways with down payment assistance programs. If you're doing VA, you have no down payment.
Right. And you've got so many lenders that you work with. I mean,
lenders that do loans I don't even know exist. I mean, it's just there's lenders that have different programs out there that will come along. We talked in the past about second mortgage that you never have to make a payment on until mm-hmm. you sell the house. That's one lender that does that.
Right.
Well, that's a nice lender to have when you have somebody that's 55 and want to get a second mortgage.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Kirk can help you out. Affordable Interest Mortgage, your disclosure, sir.
NMLS 217147, regulated by DOR, and we are an equal credit lender.
Kirk's ready to help you. Give him a call, 720-895-0500. When you call, let him know you heard him here on KLZ 560, and we'd appreciate that as well. So, Kirk, thank you very much.
You bet.
We'll be back with more right after this.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Looking for great deals on hunting, fishing, camping, or shooting gear? Then make your next stop the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and listen, whether you're buying or selling, you'll find quality new and pre-owned outdoor gear for hunting, fishing, and camping at prices that you won't believe. From firearms and optics to fishing tackle, camping gear, and more, there's always something new to discover. Stop by the Outdoorsman's Attic and see why Colorado sportsmen keep coming back. Tell Billy Scott sent you, and you'll get the Sportsman of Colorado Radio discount on all hunting and fishing gear, excluding firearms. Colorado's largest consignment store for the outdoors. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, where the outdoors begins and the adventure continues.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? $200, $300, $400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home? Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home. Qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home. Let us show you loans that can save you money, low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at aimortgage.net. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. Regulated by DORA and MLS 217-147, Equal Credit Lender.
560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Medicare and More with Jim Gary, brought to you by Silver Sherpa Inc. Just like a Sherpa guides climbers up the mountain, Jim is here to be your trusted guide up Mount Medicare. With years of experience and a heart for helping people, Jim makes the confusing world of Medicare simple and clear. Each week, we'll bring you tips, insights, and answers to your questions so you can make confident decisions about your health care. Now it's Medicare and More with your host, Scott Watley, and your guide up Mount Medicare, Jim Gary.
Welcome to Medicare and More. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Hey, we're here every week at this time with your guide up Mount Medicare, and that is Jim Gary. The name of the company is Silver Sherpa, Inc. The website, Sherpa123.com, and the phone number, 303-865-5534. And with that, we'll welcome the man himself, Mr. Jim Gary.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on?
Great to see you, man.
Good to see you. Good to see you. You know, I was laughing with some friends this last weekend. I was playing some golf with and everything, and we were all just talking about, and they honestly said, we can't believe you're 68. And I said, well, I can't either. But anyway, no. But, man, it does sneak up on you, doesn't it?
It does.
Just age.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 64,
64,
right?
64, yeah.
All right. So it is crazy when you look back. Because when I was growing up, I don't know, it seems like, I'll just say guys, people would retire and then 10 years die, you know, or 7 years die.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, people are living 30 years past retirement.
No, in fact, so, one of the, not that we're not going to talk about long-term care today, but it triggers the thought. A lot of the long-term care insurance companies got out of the business because they didn't anticipate the longevity post-retirement, and people lived a lot longer than they expected, and they're having trouble, you know, paying their bills, long-term care, for exactly that reason. Yeah, longevity. And the problem with longevity for most people is that it's not quality, it's quantity of life.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know.
Yeah, right.
You're right. Well, if this is your first time to join us, welcome. We're here every week at this time with Jim, covering all things Medicare, and yes, like the name of the show, and more. Sometimes that covers some insurance. Sometimes that talks about our Lord. But Medicare and More, we're here every week, and we are glad you are with us. Jim, we say independent broker. We say that a lot.
Yep.
We've never really broken down kind of what that term means, maybe from, quote, a legal standpoint of an insurance broker, and then what the advantages are. So let's kind of spend some time and work through really who you are and the way your business is set up.
Sure. So a broker, let's take the word Medicare away from it. Just use the word broker. A broker, in general terminology, is someone who represents multiple companies. So it's my belief. Now, I don't do auto insurance. I don't do homeowners insurance. But if I did, I would be a broker, because a broker would mean I have access to multiple insurance companies. I'm not just quoting you one company and one plan. It's no different on the health insurance side. When you sell health insurance, and Medicare comes under health insurance, you can be what's called a captive agent or a career agent. And that's a synonymous term, captive
right.
career. If you're captive/career, it means you were hired by one insurance company, call it United Healthcare. You are employed by United Healthcare, and you can only sell one insurance company, United Healthcare. That's what a captive/career agent is. They're captive to the one company. Now, United Healthcare is a wonderful insurance company. They're one of the companies I am appointed with to offer. But what separates me from the United Healthcare captive agent is, in addition to United Healthcare, I can talk about and sell Humana, Aetna, Cigna, now HealthSpring. By the way, Cigna changed their name to HealthSpring. Devoted, Select Health, Mutual of Omaha. I can keep going and going and going with the
right.
30 different companies I'm appointed with. So there's a marketplace of insurance companies. When you work with the right broker, they have contracts with most or all of those companies. So you don't have to make 30 phone calls to 30 captive agents to figure out which is the best plan. Because when you call, as an example, Scott, United Healthcare, who do you think they're going to say is the best company?
Mm-hmm.
United Healthcare.
Yeah, United Healthcare.
Right?
Sure.
If you call Mutual of Omaha, they're going to say they're the best. If you call Humana, they're the best. And they believe that because that's their employer who's signing their check.
And sometimes they'll say, this is the best program out there.
Yes.
Well, it is for them.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean necessarily out there.
Right. And just in the Medicare space, as an example, United Healthcare offers, I think, 7 plans this year in Metro Denver. So from their perspective, they have 7 plans. They're going to say, it's the best plan we have. Mm-hmm. That means of the 7 they offer, it doesn't mean of the 70 available in Metro Denver this year, right? It's a big difference. I can quote when I say it's the best plan, or if in your situation, I find it to be, I don't use the word best a lot, the most suitable plan for your lifestyle. I'm comparing it to 70 plans that I can offer you. Mm-hmm. That United Healthcare representative, number one, can only offer you the 7. Number two, do you know they're not allowed to even compare their plans to other companies because they're not appointed by those other companies? So their reference frame is strictly just their own company. Same with Humana's employees. So you want a broker, number one. Number two, some brokers only have contracts with 2 or 3 companies. That's another red flag, because they might just get contracted with the 2 biggest ones. United and Humana's number 2 in the market. So they get the 2 biggest, gives them access to more than just being a captive audience, and it gives them the right to say they're a broker, but they're not the broker you want to deal with. You want to deal with a broker that truly is shopping the entire market and is able to compare virtually all of the plans in the marketplace. So when they come to you, they're saying, I recommend these 3 plans for you. I excluded all others based on pre-existing conditions, medications, lifestyle, whatever. So a true broker has access to virtually every plan in the marketplace and is going to make a customized recommendation based on your individual situation.
Right. Now, I think good a time to bring this up as any. Most of the time, if you hear the word broker, the next word that comes is a middleman.
Middleman.
Okay?
Right.
Then the next word comes, more expensive.
Yep.
Because there's a middleman.
Right.
Not true.
Not true. Not true at all. And this is a legal thing, so everyone pay attention, because you're going to say, the broker's just saying that. No, I'm not. So every insurance company, when they're selling their health insurance product or life insurance product, they have to file their rate with the state of Colorado. When they file their rate, it's called a premium. The amount you pay each month is called a premium. When they file their premium, that premium that they file has to be offered either by them directly or by a broker. Meaning, legally, when a broker quotes you, they're quoting you the price that the insurance company filed with the state, when there's no add-on. Mm-hmm. So if I mentioned United before, play it out. Let's say United filed a rate of $192 for their supplement plan G or something. That $192 per month, and if you called United directly and said, I want to work just with you, United, sign me up for that plan G, you get $192 a month. If you call me as a broker who is contracted with United, I'm quoting you the same $192. I can't subtract. I can't add. United can't add or subtract. United can't discount. They can't whisper in your ear and say, you know, if you come straight to us, instead of paying $192, we'll give it to you for $182. They can't. Whatever rate they filed, that's the rate you're going to pay whether you go to a broker or direct.
Okay.
Translated, why do you want to go directly to any insurance company when all they can do is sell their product? When you can go to a broker who has the right broker,
sure,
the Sherpa broker, who has virtually every product at their disposal and can shop all of them and give you the same price as going direct to the insurance company.
Right. And you do all that work because your commission, and you're transparent about this,
yep,
your commission comes from the insurance company.
Yep.
So it's absolutely a cost to me as your client.
100%. So again, I'm quoting you the same price as the insurance company, and I'm not then turning around and saying, oh, by the way, my time is valuable, I'm going to charge you for my time. I'm not allowed to do that. Medicare doesn't allow that. So you're going to get my expertise free of charge, completely free of charge. And there's no gimmick, there's no small print, there's no asterisk saying, oh, not really free. No, it's the same price you're getting from the company, and I'm not charging you for my time and expertise. I'm not allowed to.
Right.
Yeah.
Once again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Medicare and More with Jim Gary. All right. When we talk about being able to represent all those, and then how do you go about, what are the type of questions that you get from the client to figure out which plan to kind of put them with, and then whether to go, and we'll let you break down Medicare Advantage and Original Medicare in a second. But how do you, what all goes into that?
Okay, so Silver Sherpa insurance is different than 99% of others. Not, oh, I've run into some competitors who are very ethical in the way they approach business and truly do what we do, which is this. They're commission agnostic. Commissions don't matter to them. They have to live on commissions, but they're not recommending plans based on commissions. What do I mean by that? What most people don't know is that the Medicare Advantage plans, the Part C of Medicare, which is Advantage, they pay, on average, twice as much commission as a Medicare supplement plan or a Medigap policy.
Okay.
Twice as much. Moreover, when you enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, not only is the broker getting paid more money, but that's a lifetime renewal. So as long as you remain in that broker's quote-unquote book of business, they continue to get paid until either the broker retires or you pass away, one or the other.
Right.
Literally, lifetime commissions. On the supplement plan, Medigap, not only are you making less as a broker to begin with, about half, you're only getting paid for 6 years on that policy. 6 years. After year six, it goes down to 0% on most companies. So when a broker is looking at a business plan for their own business, they're saying, do I want to sell a plan that pays more to begin with and pays for life, or one that pays half as much and only pays for 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Most brokers are in this for the long term. I am too, but not at the expense of my clients. So what I mean by that is, it doesn't mean I don't sell Advantage plans. I do. Half of my clients have Advantage plans. Half have Medicare supplement. But none of those decisions were based on commissions, because I told people up front what the commissions look like.
Right.
And I tend to over-dramatize the Medicare Advantage plan, because I want to make sure they understand that I get paid twice as much, and I never want them to say to me in the future, you know, you sold me a plan that paid you twice as much. I don't think you shot straight. So I tend to stress the negatives of Advantage plans more than most brokers do, because I want to make sure you understand that while these plans are good and good for many people, they're not the right plan for everyone. And if I feel you're one of the people that the Advantage plan is going to ultimately not do a good job for, I know that day one, I'm going to tell you why I feel that way, and I'm going to be very, very upfront about it. And most brokers are not going to do that, because what you're really saying to this person is, I'm recommending a policy for you that over the years is going to pay me thousands of dollars less than a Medicare Advantage plan. So you better believe if I'm recommending a plan that's going to make that kind of an economic impact on me, that much less money, I believe it down deep.
Sure.
Right? Why would I do it otherwise?
Right.
Right? So
absolutely.
So when I'm talking to someone, what I need to learn about is their lifestyle. Your lifestyle is going to dictate to me whether I should be offering you Advantage and supplement, letting you kind of make the choice, or whether I should be very strident with you and saying, if I were you, I would avoid Advantage at all costs. That's a huge mistake given your individual situation.
Right. And when we say about using a broker, here's why. I'd be willing to bet you that most of the calls you get and people start kind of telling you what they've been advised by friends, coworkers, because you may bring up, you know, an Advantage plan. Oh, no, I've told I didn't want that. Or you bring up the other, and they go, no, I want the other.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
It's morning. But before you got here, I had a lady call me, and she said, my name is Sandra. She said, you helped my husband, Joe, right here in Parker, Colorado, a couple of years ago. And I'd like you to help me. And she says, I'm going to save you a lot of time. I'm going to tell you the exact plan I want you to sign me up for. And so she did. And I said, okay, what made you pick that plan? She said, well, I did a bunch of research and this, that. And she went on and on and on and on about all this research she had done. And I said, that plan isn't even offered in Colorado. And if it were, you weren't eligible for it anyway. She says, why not? I said, I know you. I know your husband. You're doing quite well financially. That plan was only for people who have Medicare and Medicaid. you have to be on state Medicaid assistance.
Gotcha.
She said, oh, really? Yeah, I said, yeah, really. She said, well, I didn't read that in any of the material. I said, it was all over the material. They don't use the word Medicaid. They have other words, which is why you're doing the right thing by going to a broker. Because if you try to do something on your own, you're not looking for the right clues. I know why you wanted that plan, because it sold you on all these wonderful benefits. Free groceries, free dental, free vision, free this, free that. Coming out of every possible angle,
right,
everything was free. So, of course, you would want that plan, but only a broker is going to be able to tell you that's not that it's not for you. I'd love to get you all those freebies. That only applies if you have state Medicaid assistance. She says, well, what do I do now? I said, you don't have to waste any more time. You've contacted me. I put the time in to pick the right plan for you. She says, I feel like I just wasted an entire weekend. I said, well, frankly, you did. And I said, if I could, every call I have is recorded. I said, if I could use your, she says, don't you dare use my voice. I said, I won't. But if I could, I would put your voice on my website, because people are always thinking they're saving themselves time by doing all this homework. Mm-hmm. You lost your entire weekend, picked a plan you can't even sign up for.
Wow.
She said, well, what do you recommend? I said, nothing yet. I don't know enough about you. Let me send you a form. You're going to fill out a 5-page document. By the time I get that document back, I'll have very specific recommendations based on your lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, all brokers are not really the same. And by this, I mean, by that statement, I mean this. Some may be licensed in different ways, correct? So even some that we may get mailers from or see they're doing some kind of steak dinner for somebody, they could not even be offering everything that you do, correct?
True. So you'll find that like any self-employed, we're all self-employed. We own our own agencies. So all brokers have a business model. Some brokers say to themselves, I'm only going to offer Medicare supplement plans, the ones that pay less commission, for only 6 years, because if I try to introduce Part D drug coverage or Part C Advantage plans in, it requires 8 times as much annual training, and it does. There's a tremendous amount of training because the C and D plans are much more tightly regulated than the supplement plans. So a lot of brokers make the business decision, I'm not messing around with C and D, I'm just doing supplement, even though it pays less. Number two, the supplement plans, the Medigap plans, tend to attract a higher net worth individual because they have a premium. They're not free like the Advantage. So a lot of brokers are looking at the supplement plan as a gateway product into higher commission products like long-term care, annuities, things like that. So that's the other reason they're leaving the Advantage plan out of their mix. Now, that's a legitimate business model. Legitimate. Nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
As long as the broker tells you up front as a prospect, I have made a business decision not to sell Medicare Advantage plans and not to sell Medicare Part D plans. I only do supplements. So if you're just, if you've done the homework already and you know you want a supplement, I'm your guy. But if you're not sure what you want yet, you really should go to a broker who offers Advantage, drug, and supplement plans so you can get a proper comparison done. Okay. Flip side, there are some brokers who just do the Advantage plans. They do not do supplement plans because the Advantage plans pay twice as much commission.
Right.
Right? So they're saying to themselves, I want to do this long term. I want to make as much money as I can for as long as I can. The Advantage is for me. Again, that's a fair business model. You made that your decision to do that, but you should educate your consumer when you're sitting down with them. I only do Advantage plans. So if you're looking to have a comparison done, supplement versus Advantage, you want to go to someone that does everything.
Yep.
The best question you should ask a potential broker is, do you offer Medicare Advantage, Medicare Part D, and supplement plans? When they say yes, say, how many clients do you have? And I'd give you the answer. I'm approaching 1,000 clients. 4 years I've been open, I'm approaching 1,000 clients. Okay, what percentage of your clients have Advantage plans, 50%? What percentage have supplement plans, 50%? Now, it might be 48, 52. It's right about 50-50. My point is this. Most brokers are going to tell you they're 85-15, 90-10 towards Advantage because of the commission bias that they have. Some, if you back them into a corner, give me a percentage, they're going to tell you 100%, so I don't do any advantage. That's how you force it out of them. What percentage have advantage versus supplement? That'll tell you everything you need to know about truly how unbiased they are. Because if they're not close to 50-50, they're probably not, they probably have ulterior biases.
Right. You're listening to Medicare and More. Once again, the phone number for Jim is 303-865-5534. You can check out their website at Sherpa123.com. All right, you mentioned prescriptions there and the medications. So why is that so important when you're comparing the Part D and the Medicare Advantage plans?
Well, this is huge. So it's important for a lot of reasons, but the biggest single reason today is the Medicare prescription drug companies, most of them, and probably by the time this goes live on the air, all of them will fall into this category. They stopped paying commissions on their drug plans. So when they stopped paying commissions, most brokers stopped selling drug plans.
Yeah, because
they're not making any money on them. So we didn't. We made a business decision whether we get paid a commission or not on a product. If you're going to trust us on your Medicare journey, we'll take the good with the bad. We'll take the commissionable products, but we're also going to help you with your Part D drug plan, even though it doesn't pay us anything. And the reason we made that decision, yeah, we're good guys, we're ethical, all those things, but it goes beyond that. It's that the Part D drug coverage, to answer your question, now, obviously, if you're taking two generic drugs and you take no drugs, you don't need expert advice yet. You really don't. There's a couple plans in the market as of the time of this recording that have no premium. You could sign up for the zero premium plan and not lose any sleep over it. But most people have more than just a couple generics. They're taking some brand names. They're taking some drugs that have specific requirements. And if you sign up for the wrong drug coverage, that single decision you made could cost you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars annually in drug pricing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exaggerating. We have a case study this year where a client called us after they worked with a broker who did not sell Part D drug coverage and just gave them bad advice. And as a result of that bad advice, they ended up paying $27,000 for their prescription. And because the broker told them, don't worry about which plan you sign up for. There's a $2,100 max out of pocket. So the most you're going to pay is $2,100. What are you worried about? Just sign up for the cheapest plan. You have an expensive drug, you'll be capped out. That's not true. There's rules that apply to the max out of pocket. And by the way, the max out of pocket's going up to $2,400 in calendar year 2027. So if this show airs in 2027, the max is $2,400, but not everyone is capped at $2,400. You have to know what drugs you're taking. Are they on the formulary of your plan? Where are you buying them to make sure that the rules apply to you on the $2,400? That's why we decided we have to help people with Part D coverage, because what good is it if we just sign them up for the commissionable plans and they end up getting screwed on Part D coverage? Ultimately, they're going to come back to us and say, I understand you didn't get a commission on that, but do you realize as a result of not helping me, I ended up paying $27,000 for a drug that I could have only paid $2,400 for because it fell into the max out of pocket?
Wow.
So absolutely, Part D coverage is huge. If your broker refuses to help you with Part D coverage, find yourself a Sherpa, not a broker.
Right. Yeah. All right. Most of us, we're used to, if we're buying just normal health insurance, we're trying to find out, hey, is our doctor and hospital and network and specialist and all that kind of stuff. Why is that important in the Medicare world, or how does that play into it with Medicare?
So it's important. It's more important on Medicare Advantage than it is on Medicare Supplement. So let's start with the easier of the two, the Medicare Supplement. When you're on a Medicare Supplement plan, which are called Medigap plans, and you'll know you're on a Medigap plan, or your friend is that's talking to you, because they use a letter to tell you about their plan. I have an F, like free plan. No, it's not free. F like Frank plan. I have a G like George plan, an N like Nancy. If the plan has a letter to distinguish it, it means it's a Medigap plan. When you're on a Medigap plan, it's a secondary policy. That's why they call it supplement. It supplements Medicare, which means Medicare is primary, which means your medical network is Medicare, the federal government. 98% of doctors and hospitals across the country accept Medicare. So when you get a supplemental Medigap plan, you can go to 98% of doctors across the country, virtually every single doctor in the country. You don't have to worry about referrals. You don't have to worry about prior authorizations. 98% of the time, you don't have to worry about, does my doctor accept Medicare? Because they do. That's how easy a supplement is. An Advantage plan, by definition, is a managed care plan. Most of them are HMOs. The PPOs are going away.
Right.
Most of them are HMO plans, which means you're darn tooted. You're darn tooted. What's the right word? Darn tooting? Darn tooted?
Darn. Now, in Texas, we'd say darn tooting.
Darn tooting. That's what I'm looking for. The Lone Star Man comes through again for me. All right. You're darn tooting. You're darn. I'm from Jersey originally, so I don't know that language. So darn tooting. You're darn tooting the network matters, because on a managed care Advantage plan, they're all managed care, your doctors have to be in the network of the plan, unless it's a PPO. If it's a PPO, you can go out of network, but two things kick in on the out of network care. One, you'll pay a lot more, usually twice as much for out of network care, but more importantly, if a doctor is out of the network, they are under no obligation to accept your PPO plan. They right. can if they want to, but there's probably a reason they're out of the network to begin with. They don't like the reimbursement rate that the mm-hmm. plan had, so they made a business decision not to take your plan. So PPOs don't solve the problem.
Right.
Which means networks matter when you're on an Advantage plan. They matter a big deal. And sometimes mid-year, the networks blow up. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, sometimes in the middle of the year, you find out of the blue, oh, my doctor just left my network. And that's not a special life-changing event that allows you to change your Advantage plan. You're stuck in your plan the rest of the year until you can change the end of the year.
Wow.
Networks matter on yep. Advantage.
Well, folks, hey, hopefully we've proven to you today why you need to call Silver Sherpa. 303-865-5534. Hey, when you call, be sure and let them know you heard them here on KLZ 560 and Medicare and More, and we'd appreciate that as well. And once again, the website is Sherpa123.com. Jim, our time always goes too quickly.
Was that another 28 minutes or something?
But we appreciate
you. You've got to be kidding me.
But we're going to pick this up next week. We've got a few more things we want to go over. Just letting you know, really, what are you getting when you deal with Jim and Silver Sherpa and the team at Silver Sherpa, Inc.? And what you just need to be on the lookout. I promise you, you get that several months before you turn 65, your mailbox is going to be full. We don't want you to fall into a trap where, you could make some mistakes that could be very costly, and that's where we're going to start next week. So thanks for being with us today. Jim, again, thank you, and hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.